wonderful thing to hear about the Lord. I want you to know that it's not just about his birth. Much of the world celebrates the birth of Christ, but it's why he was born. Bethlehem led to Calvary. I want you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the revelation of Jesus Christ as we read a portion of the fifth chapter. We'll begin with the last verse in chapter 4. In the opening of the revelation, the unveiling of the revelation, God lets us know of things past, things present, things to come. We conclude the church age when we leave the third chapter and we deal with the church being taken to glory with the Lord, what is commonly called the rapture of the church in chapter 4. And on the earth, beginning the unleashing of all the evil desire that's been held back by the work of the Holy Spirit and the believing people who are on the earth. And the Word of God tells us in this prophecy in chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." There are many books, at least seven of them mentioned in the Word of God. And here's a book God tells about that has all his plans for what he intended for the human race. As the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has a plan for the world. And sin has entered into the bloodstream of all humanity. And we're captive people in this world, those who do not know the Lord, and the prince and power of the air, the prince of this world, he's called, has the world in his hand now. And then this prophecy, this prophetic revelation, God says all the yearning of mankind, all that was ever in the heart of a human being to see God accomplish in his life or in his world is now frustrated. Because God has an intention, that's this book. God has an intention. And that intention cannot come to pass because no one is worthy to open that book and to bring about what God desires for our world. So much so that the Revelator weeps much because the human heart is weeping. Humanity lost and undone, frustrated. And generation after generation, we see that happen. Occasionally, someone comes to some throne on the earth and believes that he or she has the answer, only to be proven in the record of history they're not the Savior. And the Bible says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, have every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, God has kept up with every prayer of the human race, every yearning, every pleading with God for what God intended. Will it ever come to pass? Will it ever be complete? God has kept every one of your prayers and the prayers of all his children through the ages, pleading with him to do what they know he's capable of doing. And so now he reveals to us those prayers have been kept. Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So when we sing these songs that we've been hearing, when the choir opens their hearts and sings, Worthy is the Lamb. When they sing about sin coming in the bloodstream of humanity, one man's sin, and our mother and father in the human race brought that sin into the bloodstream of humanity. God designed that by one man, the perfect God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come to earth, manifest himself to us, the Bible says. And God became a man without ceasing to be God, lived among us. This really happened. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross and he paid our sin debt. He purchased our redemption. He bought us back from the kidnapper, the devil, who was dragging us off to hell. He paid the debt in full. Every just demand that God made on the payment of sin, Jesus Christ paid it all. And sometimes we think, well, we've been redeemed. Yes, we've been redeemed. We've been bought back, saved from our sin, justified. But that's not all of it. He came, was born in a manger. Don't leave it there. He lived a sinless life. Don't leave it there. He not only lived a sinless life, he went to the cross. And why did he die? He paid a debt he did not owe. It was our debt. And when he died paying that debt, he provided the way for our redemption. And not only that, he's coming back again. And God says when the devil has hold of everything, it looks like it's all gone, there's no hope, the human race will perish forever. The Lamb of God stands on Mount Zion, coming in power and glory to create a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to reign with him. The Bible says 1,000 years. That's not even yet eternity, but then eternity will begin. And that old tempter, the devil, will be cast into a lake of fire forever. and God's children shall be with him without end. No wonder when everything God promised was thwarted, and the man who had the revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos, could find no one on earth who ever lived or under the earth or in the heavens. And the elders reminded him, there is one, but only one, who could purchase our full redemption, could bring to pass everything God planned for the human race. And that one appeared like a lamb that was slain, slaughtered, the Bible says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But now we see him as he came in like a lamb. We see him now as a lion. Same one, same Jesus, ruling and reigning forever. And that's why this wonderful music was written, to praise him, not just because of Bethlehem, but because of all he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, to prove he has power and he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he rules and reigns forever. And we give him the glory. We give him the glory. And when you think about this special time, don't limit your thinking to a baby in a manger. Remember, this is the Lamb of God, the Bible says, slain from the foundation of the world. This is God's eternal plan, and it's in action. It cannot be stopped. Many today think it's over, but it cannot be stopped. God will rule and reign in a perfect world that he designed. Someday, it's going to happen, and if you know him as your Savior, you're going to reign with him. And he's coming again. He's coming again. Just as his birth in the manger set in motion all we find through his life and death and resurrection, when he comes to snatch his bride away, in motion will be set God's eternal plan for the redemption not only of our souls, but the redemption of this earth and the ruling and reigning of our Savior forever and ever, and we shall be with him. God has promised this, and I believe him. I believe him with such conviction, I want to sing about it and praise God for it, don't you? And so that's what this is all about. And you know, missionaries for ages have been proclaiming this message. The Moravian missionaries had a theme that they broadcast everywhere. When they thought of salvation and thought of the Lord, they said, may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And that's exactly what we have. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain, will someday receive the reward of his suffering. You say, what a reward, God tells us about. Yes, what a reward. A new heaven and a new earth. What a reward. A perfect world in which to live. Heaven forever with Jesus. What a reward. That was brought about by what a suffering. What a suffering. That he tasted death for every man. Every human being who ever drew a breath of God's air. What suffering. And no wonder we sing and we say with God's word, worthy is the Lamb. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?